What's wrong with you people?
Welcome to Not Another Baptist Podcast. My name is Dr. Matt Hensley, the pastor of Plymouth Park Baptist Church in Irving, Texas, and I'm joined by Dr. Kyle, non-alcoholic beerman, the church planter, whatever, blah, 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 for the North American Mission Board. Kyle, it is opening day. Well,
it is.
People tune into this. It is Good Friday or Silent Saturday,
yeah,
or Easter Sunday.
Yesterday was opening day, but as we're recording this.
As we record this, this is opening day. Everybody is on pace to win 162 games.
That's right.
We'll see what happens
after. Everyone is tied. Yes, everything's great.
So let's give our way too early, like, who is going to be in the ALCS, the NLCS, and who will face off in the World Series, and who is going to take home the trophy.
Okay,
so right. That's what I want us to do. It's way too early, you know?
Way too early.
Every one of your pitchers are probably still dead. I can't remember. And then, you know, Corey Seager, I mean, he's healthy right now, so that means he's got about 10 games in him. Then he'll be out for about 3 months. So a lot of things are going to happen in between now and then. Same thing for the Astros. Same thing for the Orioles. Same thing for the Athletics, but we don't worry about them. Anyway, here I will tell you this. I think the best division is definitely going to be the AL West.
Oh, 100%.
Some of these teams are stacked. Yeah. Now that A's notwithstanding.
Right.
But
the other four are potential formidable contenders.
Yeah.
For the Angels, you have Ron Washington at the helm, who just works magic. The West could be a whole lot of fun.
Not the only thing he works. But anyway, Kyle, here is my prognostication. Okay. I've made it very clear, and I've said it for the last, I think, 2 months on Facebook. I've shared it every month, and I've said, bookmark it, screenshot it, you know, send it to Otani, or hang it in the whatever, the Louvre. How do you say that? Anyway, here's my call. Now, here's the thing, is I don't know how the seeding really works, so you never really know. But here's what I think are like the two best AL teams that are going to face off in the ALCS. And of course, one is going to be a homer pick. But I think this might be our last trip to the ALCS. I'm not sure. But anyway, I'm going to say the Houston Astros, shocking nobody, and the Baltimore Orioles.
Okay.
That's my ALCS pick. I think they were certainly on the rise last year, got a major hit towards the end. I think they're a formidable bunch. They're young, stacked. We'll see. That's what I'm claiming for the ALCS. NLCS, I just hope and pray that, like, Otani is banned for life. And I'm going to go for the Diamondbacks and the Atlanta Braves. And my call for the Diamondbacks, I was a little leery of. I felt better about that coming out of the World Series, and then they didn't quite do a whole lot. But then one of their holes I was worried about most was the pitching. Then they got Jordan Montgomery, I guess. I guess it's going through. I know it was pending physical or whatever. And the Atlanta Braves, I feel like, are going to be stacked until like 2040, since they've got their entire team locked up for a million years.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be the Braves and the Diamondbacks. That's my call for those two. So let's give yours for the ALCS and the NLCS.
All right. So I'll take a homer pick as well and say that the Rangers and the Astros are back. Okay. And why not? I'm just going to, I'll spoil it and say, I'm going to pick the Rangers to repeat, because who cares at this point?
All right. No one cares about the
Phillies. Now you are correct about the Orioles. I was at Game 3 of the division series. And the Rangers swept the Orioles, but as I'm looking at their roster, it's a whole bunch of people nobody know. Right, I mean, young guys, right, who are going to be there for a long time. I don't think this is the Orioles' year, but give it like 25, 26. I think they're competing for a World Series title. So the road to the world to the ALCS is going to go through Baltimore one way or the other. You've got to beat the Orioles to get there.
Yeah.
So I'll go back. Rangers and Astros, we get a repeat, all right? Rangers and seven. The NL, again, so much of that hinges on, for the Dodgers, what happens with Ohtani, right? Is he banned? Does he get suspended for a significant period of time? What happens with this?
I would almost put my house, that's probably poor form because we're talking about betting, but I would almost put my house on the fact that Ohtani is not going to be suspended in any shape or form.
Okay.
Even if it comes out that Ohtani like threw games repeatedly, I would
baseball's not going to risk getting that hit, right?
if like the face of baseball, certainly international baseball, it's like, yeah, we'll crucify him. Trevor Bauer was a little easier to forever away.
I'm going to take a side note and I'm going to say now's a good time to lift the ban on Shoeless Joe and put him in the Hall of Fame. So there you go. Now's the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Dodgers are there. The Diamondbacks, same thing. Young team. They're not going anywhere. And yes, my heart aches because they got Jordan Montgomery after the Rangers did not re-sign him.
And it seems like they could have done that for kind of cheap.
I think so.
I mean, compared to, we'll I mean, see. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll see. So let's go. I'll go Diamondbacks and Braves in the NLCS. Braves and Rangers in the World Series. I don't think this is the Diamondbacks year. Again, I think maybe 25 or 26, you see the Diamondbacks and the Orioles potentially in the World Series. And then Rangers in six over the Braves, breaking my mother-in-law's heart. There you go.
Well, shocking no one. I'm going to say we're having a rematch. We're going to have the Astros and the Braves. This time, the Astros get the W. Obviously, nobody's going to be shocked that Matt would do that because Matt is insufferable. Here's the other thing I will add. And this, I promise, is not because I'm just being a pain to you. I think the Rangers will be third this year in the AL.
And I believe that's what you said last year.
I had reason last year, and then y'all surprised me. I think it's third. I think it's going to be third. I think the Mariners might win the division.
All right. Well,
that's my
sleeper pick there.
My little thing. Is I that rotation though.
It's true.
Anyway, it's true. Hey, none of this matters. But today is
welcome to not another baseball podcast, everybody. Yeah,
we should do that, and then really have nobody listen. This is Good Friday, and that is obviously good because of what comes on Sunday, and what ultimately happens. And it's a good day to just pause, and maybe reflect on the events of Good Friday, of Jesus going to the cross, and recently, for kind of this entire Easter series that we've done at Plymouth Park, we've walked through creation, fall, and redemption, not just the creation of the world, but ultimately looking at Jesus throughout history in the sense of he was before there was, you know, even history. He was before there was even world, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So he was, he is, and is to come was our first one. And then this past week, we talked about redemption and that he ultimately came to restore what Adam destroyed. And by the original sin and original fall, the death that came with it, all of that Jesus enters humanity to ultimately live a perfect life for us, die a sacrificial death for us, what we ultimately remember on Good Friday. He was buried. He really died. And then 3 days later, rose again. And that's what we're going to celebrate on Easter. And I thought, just for us and for this podcast and for our listeners, that I shared a doctor's kind of description of crucifixion that really gives a good picture for us of what Jesus did for us, what he went through for us. Obviously, we know all of the beatings, all of the mocking, all of the spitting, all of the slapping, all of the other stuff that led to all of the scorn and the suffering that led to the cross. But what ultimately happens at the cross and on the cross for Jesus. And so take a moment to listen to this, and then we will be back to send us out.
And it is right to talk about sin. it is right to talk about the effects of the fall and how it brought to us death. But it's also right to talk about Christ's cross, the restoration it brings, and how it brings us life. But church, as we prepare to celebrate Easter, we must remember that the cross is not jewelry. It's justification. How? A doctor provides a physical description. The cross is placed on the ground, and an exhausted man is thrown backwards with his shoulders against the wood. The soldiers feel for the depression at the front of his wrist. Then he drives a large nail through the wrist deep into the wood. And he moves to the other side and does it again, being careful not to pull the arms too tightly to allow for some freedom of movement. And the cross is then lifted into place. At that point, the left foot is pressed backward against the right foot, and with both feet extended, toes down, a nail is driven through the arch of each, leaving the knees just flexed a little bit. The man is now crucified. As he slowly sags down with more weight on the nails in the wrists, excruciating fiery pain shoots along the fingers and up the arms to explode in the brain. The nails in the wrists are putting pressure on the median nerves. As he pushed himself upward to avoid this stretching torment, he places the full weight on the nail through his feet. And again, he feels the searing agony of the nail tearing through the nerves between the bones of his feet. As the arms fatigue, cramps creep through the muscles, knotting them in deep, relentless, throbbing pain. With these cramps come the inability to push himself upward in order to breathe. Air can't be drawn into the lungs, or air can be drawn into the lungs, but can't be exhaled. He fights to raise himself to get even one tiny breath. Finally, carbon dioxide builds up in the lungs and in the bloodstream, and the cramps partially subside. Spasmodically, he can push himself upward to exhale and bring in some of that life-giving oxygen. Hours. Hours of limitless pain, cycles of twisting and joint-rending cramps, intermittent partial asphyxiation, searing pain as tissue is torn from his lacerated back as he moves up and down against that rough timber behind him. Then another agony begins, a deep, crushing pain deep in the chest as the area fills with serum and compresses the heart around it. It is now almost over. The loss of tissue fluids has reached a critical level. The compressed heart is struggling to pump heavy, thick, sluggish blood into the tissues. The tortured lungs are making a frantic effort to gasp just the smallest gulps of air. He can feel the chill of death creeping through the tissues, and then finally, he dies. Jesus did that for you.
God loved you so much that he sent his one and only son to live a perfect life for you, to die a sacrificial death for you, to rise victoriously for you, and has saved you because you turn to him in faith. That's the message that we ultimately proclaim, and we are praying for you if you're a pastor as you proclaim that this Sunday. And if you're a member, a lay leader, anybody else that's a follower of Christ, we're praying for you as you share that same message as you go, wherever you go, to the glory of God. And we're praying for you, rooting for you, and hope that you have a wonderful Easter with your family and friends. Kyle, send us out.
Hey, happy Easter to y'all. And until next time, may your coffee be as black as night and as bold as the gospel you declare.
I would say as bold as Matt's prediction that the Mariners will be first.
That is very bold indeed.
Very bold.
What's wrong with you people?